Hello and welcome to the PopBreak.com's official Oscars podcast, hosted by Marissa Carpico and Matt Taylor.
Hi, everybody. This is Marissa Carpico, the film editor at thepopbreak.com. I'm here with my host, Matt Taylor. Say hello, Matt.
Hi, everybody.
And we are here for another category episode of our podcast, the Way Too Early Oscar podcast. We have too many Oscar podcasts. And this time we're doing international feature, which really, honestly, the behind the scenes drama of us trying to watch these films, unbelievable. You have no idea how dedicated we are to have finally seen all of these. The nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front from Germany, Argentina 1985 from Argentina, Close from Belgium, Io from Poland, and The Quiet Girl from Ireland. Why don't we do our bit about how much we hate All Quiet on the Western Front? We'll start with you.
Yeah. it's funny, I don't even hate it, but the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, oh my, again?
Yeah.
Like, and this one, at least, you know, it is an international film, so sure. But yeah, it's going into this season, everyone was madly in love with RRR, and it was, of course, not submitted by India, which more than anything to me just calls to mind how stupid the rules are, where it's like somehow America is able to produce 10 great films every single year, but every other country makes exactly one good one that has to be submitted. And it's very stupid and needs to be addressed, because I think if the rules weren't so strange, we'd all be looking forward to an RRR sweep. But whatever. And then the other film that everyone was like, oh, of course this will be a contender, is Decision to Leave, and from South Korea. And that ends up being missed as well. And I'm like, okay, so those two miss, and the one that becomes the front runner is All Quiet on the Western Front. It just make it make sense. It doesn't, it's just wild to me. It is, you know, the whole time I watched it, I am like, what does this do to justify its existence, basically? I don't know. I don't get it at all.
No, I've been saying it on many of these podcasts. Like, this does not, it just doesn't justify its existence. There already is a great adaptation that you can see, that one Best Picture. Just go watch it. Yeah, and this frustrating thing about it. And it's like, yeah, I didn't even hate the movie at all. But like, the more we talk about it, the more frustrated I am, because it's like, it's probably going to win this category. And it's like, honestly, no. Why should it win? It's just not that good. No. I don't know. It's crazy to me that the Academy loves it as much as they do. I think I predicted on the Cinema Joes, or hoped on the Cinema Joes podcast, that there would be an All Quiet shutout. And I really hope that happens, because I would rather almost anything in this category win over it.
Truly.
The very last film that I watched for this entire season was Argentina 1985, which I just literally just kept forgetting to watch for about 3 weeks straight. And then today I was like prepping notes and I went, oh fuck. So I had to like watch it while I prepped before filming or recording. I think my expectations were so low. I think just because it was 2 hours and 20 minutes and I was just not interested in taking that kind of time, that I kind of was impressed by it in a sort of like, it's a very solid procedural about past war crimes in Argentina from a previous fascist government in the 80s. Well, it's set in the 80s, so previous to that. And it's about like the prosecutor and his band of young misfits who basically set up this trial and try to prosecute these people who've been like excused by the official government, like military trial. So I found it very interesting and pretty well shot. I honestly really like the score of it even. It's got like a nice. It's really well edited. I think it's 2 hours and 20, but I never felt like necessarily bored. I think it keeps things moving really well. It's like a very good procedural drama. And, you know, I like a good procedural drama. And I think it's decent, honestly. It's not bad. Especially in this little group of films, I think it's like on the higher end for me. What are your thoughts about it? You saw it longer ago than I did.
Yeah, but only like a few days. Okay. But it is one that like I found perhaps a bit dry at points. Like it felt its length, and maybe that's because I was like tired of watching it, but it felt its length to me. But at the same time, especially compared to All Quiet on the Western Front, my main takeaway from it was like every year I'll send a list of movies to my parents that like they should watch them in Broskis. And I was like, oh my god, my parents would go so hard for this. Like it is the time where they'd be like so into it. It's a really classically made procedural. It is about dark subject matter, but it's never exploitative or overly violent or something like that. And it is a sort of thing where I was just like, oh, like, you know, if they're going to go with a somewhat safe choice, let's say, you know, All Quiet on the Western Front, mm-hmm. like, why can't this be the front runner? Because it's better made and, like, you know, feels like it has a reason to exist, essentially. So, I think it's a good nomination. I don't love any of the five films nominated this year, I will say. I think it is a very good one and, like, one that I think would be a good winner if it was to somehow pull that off.
Yeah, I think that oddly enough, I think this is one of the weaker international picture categories that we've had to cover for this podcast. And like, usually I think there's some hidden gems. I mean, I think there's a couple films we went to bat for a few years ago, but like, yeah, I don't know. This one's a weak one. Another weak one that I think is wildly overrated and that I was disappointed by was EO. You know, I thought it sucked. Sorry. the donkey's cute, but like, this is the ultimate like international feature that you like expect to be nominated for an Oscar because boy, is it full of itself. It just felt directionless to me. It's about like human cruelty toward animals, but like did it in such an affected and asinine way that I just like really the longer it went on, the less on board I was with it. And like donkey cute, but there's really not a lot else going. I think the film is not as smart as it clearly thinks it is.
I were basically in agreement on this. I was excited for this one. And it's funny because I, at multiple points prior to the film entering the Criterion Channel, and multiple points throughout the last few months, like I like nearly went to go see it in a theater. And I was like, almost at the door and something went wrong where I was like, oh, I can't make it now. And I was happy that it was added to the Criterion Channel when it was, because I was like, oh, I can at least watch it without having to go to a theater, thank God. Like, it's just easier to do. But I was happy because I was like, oh, I would have been annoyed if I paid for this. Like, it's like, it's well filmed. And, you know, there's some impressive bits of filmmaking in it. Like, you know, I am sure working with animals was a challenge, as much as this film does. But this, yeah, I just kind of felt like, okay, nihilism. All right, like, anything else that we have here? Okay, no. Like,
yeah.
It just feels like the sort of thing where I am like, I texted this to you, and it's a little shady, but I was like, it's like growing up Homeward Bound to me, where I was just like, I almost wish the donkey talked. So that it's like, just go all the way and sell what it is, basically, to us. Because I really just kind of walked away from it being like, I don't know. This was a very long 88 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you meant that as a nice thing. I was like, girl, don't insult Homeward Bound like that.
I meant it as like both a nice thing and also like a being a little sarcastic, because it's the sort of thing where I roll my eyes a bit at the people who really can write like full papers on this because I'm just like, all right, we got it. Like nihilism, yeah, okay. Like I'm so bored. I'm so bored of nihilism, and I'm like, if you're gonna do this, have something more nuanced or interesting to say. I don't know. Like it just there's a certain moment where like there is a sudden act of violence in this film against the human, and I was like, all right, like when that happened, I was like, okay, we got it. I'm like, how much time is
and
left?
Then Isabelle Huppert shows up for absolutely no reason, ported in from some Italian melodrama that we only get one scene of. I was so confused.
Yeah, I found it so boring and I don't know, like disappointing since this movie was so loved by a lot of people that I trust. And you know, happy for you, not for me.
Yeah, no, I went into it being like, people love this. And then I was like, girl, what? The best film for me in this group is probably, well, actually, you know what? I've been talking a lot. How about you talk about Close from Belgium?
Yes. This one, hard to talk about without spoiling things. And I'm going to not spoil things as much as I can. Because I do think, for better or worse, the movie hinges on not knowing where it's going to go. It is about two young boys, like middle school age, probably, who are very good friends, like best friends, you know, sewn to the hip together, hanging out all the time, sleeping over each other's houses, really close and affectionate in a way that young boys, you know, typically are not. And then, you know, as they get older and go back to school, people start questioning their friendship and, you know, assuming it is, you know, that they are boyfriends or something, or have crushes on each other or something like that. And one of the boys doesn't seem to be bothered by this. And it's just sort of like, whatever, we're best friends. It doesn't matter what people think. And the other one does start to seem to be bothered by these questions against his sexuality and his masculinity and things like that. And at the halfway point, the plot changes a bit. I won't spoil it. But it is about the fallout from various things that happen. And I found the first half really well observed and surprisingly effective in the way it depicts the friendship between these two boys. I think it, like, the two actors have really natural chemistry. They have really they're giving really natural performances. It all feels really believable in a way that I thought was interesting because, you know, as a queer man who found navigating male friendships in school difficult throughout his entire life, basically until college, like, I think it is it's very authentic in the way it shows, you know, the way male friendships change over time and things like that, in a way that I think is rare. And I think in a lesser film would come off in a very different way. That being said, I think the halfway point on it, it becomes really dark and sad in a way where I just sort of felt like it meandered for like a full 45 minutes and ultimately really felt like, you know, it felt cheap to me by the end of it, where I was just like, it felt like the writer had this really interesting hook for a movie and then didn't know how to end it. And the movie just kind of becomes sadness porn for the last half. And I was just sort of like, I don't know if bored's the right word, because it's so sad that it's hard to be bored, but I was just kind of like, this needs to do more than just what it's doing. And I ultimately kind of left being like cold to it. I don't know. It's not, you know, I've seen a lot of gay men really outright dismiss it as like, you know, cruel and manipulative. And I don't begrudge, like, you know, I'm sure it is very triggering for a lot of gay men. And I don't necessarily begrudge it, but I also think it's too well made in the first act to like fully outright dismiss. But I personally did ultimately find it somewhat lacking. And I wish it just did a little bit more in the last half to justify how dark it gets at points.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw it on my three movie blitz day where I had to bike to three separate theaters in Manhattan to see three separate Oscar movies. I think it was the third one of the day. So I was basically working off of a protein bar and a free bag of popcorn from Regal many hours earlier. I was so fucking hungry by then because I had about 10 minutes between each thing. So I had to spend all that time biking and locking my bike, right? So I saw this one when I was, all I could think about was food, right? And I was, and it was like, I had no idea what I was walking into because it was opening weekend. And it just like, that turn shocked me because I just didn't think it would go there because these kids seem kind of young for it. But I guess they're like, the main kid was like 14 when they filmed it, I think. So I think they just look younger than I thought they were. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting seeing your reaction to it because it's like, oh, actually that's good. That's an interesting point because like, I think all of the accusations against this are totally valid, honestly. Like I could see it feeling really exploitative. And I do think you're right. Like it just like doesn't know where to go in that last half basically. Because it's really just hitting the same point of like, you know, the way friendships change and like things you'll never forget about like the end of childhood, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's interesting. I really thought it was very affecting at the time, but like, I can see all of the ways it would like really fuck you up if you like, didn't see it coming or really it just like, if it hits too close to home or whatever, you know? Yeah, it's an interesting take and the children are very good in it and it's beautifully shot, but yeah, like I think in as time has gone on, I've liked it less, honestly. And also like, I mean, I don't think it's technically eligible, so I didn't include it in this, spoiler alert, but like, I thought of the, I saw Of an Age not that long after it, and that really affected me, so like, I don't know, I think just thing, the more I've seen from this category and like, films that are coming out like after it, I think it's lessened in my opinion as more people have looked at it, because yeah, I saw it like opening weekend, and like, you know, if it had been my first one of the day, maybe I would have been less charitable or something like that. But it was literally like living after sun close. So it was a weird day, you know?
Yeah. You went on the real emotional roller coaster that day.
Yeah. Just like sadness mostly. Yeah. It was weird.
Of Ages is a fantastic movie. Just like, We'll talk about that next year, I'm sure. What a film.
Oh, we will. Yeah. No, we're, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about next year. What a film. The final one in this category is The Quiet Girl from Ireland, which I reviewed for the site. I got a screener because of this podcast. And I really, really liked it. I think it hit me at exactly the right time, though. I was in an emotional place as a woman. I just found it very light and beautiful and lyrical with some like really lovely performances and a really like real lovely warmth. And I don't know, it just... I liked it a lot. It made me want to read the book. Apparently it's adapted from a book from Ireland called Foster. You could sort of feel that in there because there's something literary about it. I think it's like beautifully shot and very tender in its feelings. I was very impressed by it. For me, I think it's my favorite one out of the group, actually. But yeah, like I most people have not connected to it as much as I have. But like, I don't know. I think like... It speaks to the little girl in me who was like obsessed with the Secret Garden, let's say.
that sounds right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I saw this just yesterday. It was a real journey to get there, like we said. But yeah, I think it's really well done. It is like, so at one point, just to compare it to Close, there was like one line, I don't even remember what it was, where I was like, oh, this is going to get, like, really bleak and dark. And then it doesn't. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, it's like, this can just be, like, a quiet film that, like, is sad and, like, you know, has this sort of tearjerker ending without ever becoming, like, the most devastating thing you've ever seen. And the little girl's great in it. She's really, you know, it's a, I imagine, probably quite a challenging performance, and she was very... You know, she's being quiet through the whole thing, as I will suggest, and she does a good job. I was invested in her relationship with, you know, her, they're not her parents, like the people watching over her. particularly Carrie Crowley, who plays the sort of mother figure in it. She's great. Really good performance. Yeah. And yeah, I like it. It is the sort of thing. I saw it very early in the morning. I was quite tired and exhausted from having to deal with subway system and its many failings. Erica Adams, if you're listening, we got some work to do in fixing the city up. But you know, I was just like, I was into it. It is, yeah, I think it's the best of the five. And like, the sort of thing where if it pulled off a surprise, that'd be pretty, pretty cool. But
I'd be thrilled. Yeah. I'd really like it to win. Cause yeah, I mean, I do encourage people to read my review of that. Cause I just loved it. I really connected to it. I thought it was so lovely. And you're right. Like everything else in this list, except for possibly Argentina, even though the sort of subject matter it deals with is so fucking upsetting. Everything else is besides Argentina and Quiet Girl is really like, trying to make you feel like shit in a way that felt manipulative, probably in most cases, especially I would say in EO's case, frankly. But yeah, it's nice to see something that's pleasant. We don't get to watch a lot of like pleasant things for this podcast. Yeah.
No,
some of it is a chore, and you know, thank God the Quiet Girl wasn't one of them. Yeah, I think like I agree. If that could pull out a win, I'd be really thrilled. But I don't think there's any way All Quiet doesn't win at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean that'd be a real gag, to be honest. If it, yeah, I mean I would love it. I would be very happy. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, that is the international feature category. This is a quick and dirty one. I'm sure we'll have a couple more coming up. We'll be back every day talking about each category. I'm at Marissa Carpico at all social media. You can find me writing on thepopbreak.com. And Matt, where are you?
I'm on Letterboxd at Matt T and Serialized at Matt Matthew 1.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.